that was such a beautiful song to lead into a class on Kriya Yoga. My name is Bharat, and we have Nayaswami Devarshi here, and Nayaswami Ananta, and we'll be speaking this morning on the art and science of Kriya Yoga. Some years ago, when I was in Brazil, there was a woman that came to one of my nature programs, and then she visited the Expanding Light a few years later. And she was asleep out in the meadow, and she wasn't a disciple of this path, but as she was asleep, Paramahansa Yogananda came to her in a dream, and he said just one word to her. And she was so inspired by the Course of Visitation of Master that she lived by that word. And she went on to her graduate school, and she just tried to live by that principle that she was given. And about a year later, she had asked me to come out and give a series of programs for that department. And I got to meet her professors and her fellow grad students, and they all talked about how Hulberta had transformed the department by her joy and just holding everyone in her consciousness. And we were traveling from one program to the next, and she was driving, and she told me about the dream that I hadn't known about. And then she told me the word that Yogananda had given her to live by. And there could be many words that we could think. I could build my life around that word. Perhaps love, stillness, like we heard in the last song. But the word that Yogananda said to her was give. And her whole life was transformed by that one word. Well, I was thinking about the science of Kriya Yoga, and it gives us the ultimate way to give of ourselves. Whatever is offered to God is blessed 1,000-fold. And what better offering can be given to God than to offer up the very essence within ourselves, that essence that has manifested everything that we think of as ourselves, but the real pure heart of ourselves. And as in the Bible it says, love thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. And it's really only through interiorizing the energy, which a practice like Kriya Yoga does, that allows us to draw that energy in. You know, delusion is very, very strong. And we've all have at least 5 million human lives under our belts. And, you know, it just takes a while to break through. And shortly after the Berlin Wall was taken down, and I think it was 1989, I had a very amusing experience about the power of delusion. The East Germany, when you travel through there during that time, everything was brown and gray, and it was just a heavy consciousness wherever you went. And we were out in these tiny villages, and I don't think had really seen the light of progress for decades. And then we stayed at one night at this place, and I was given fried potatoes, and that was all to eat that I could eat there. And so I was the one giving the program, so the West German sponsors thought, well, gee, we should feed our guests and ask the proprietor of the hotel, well, can't you feed them anything else? And the hotel manager thought for a moment, and he said, well, we could boil the potatoes. So after several weeks of kind of living in this environment, I think the East German sponsor wanted to do something special for us, so they put us up at the Kempinski Hotel in Dresden. And it was, I think back then in 90, it was like a $500 a night hotel, and we got in there at 10 o'clock at night, and we were leaving at 8 in the morning. And it had really good food and, you know, a sauna, a big pool, and electricity. And I didn't want to go to sleep that night. The bed was comfortable, and it just seemed a waste of time to go to sleep and to go inside. I wanted to enjoy it. And I was thinking about how we can get really fascinated with life. And I just went on the website of this hotel yesterday, and it really truly is a higher astral world. And I could see how yogis can get trapped in the higher worlds, because it's just so, so nice. Just an aside, you know, years ago, you know, we had a single monastery, and Anandi was in it as well as many others. And Krishnadas was working with Anandi and Ganesha in the recordings department. And at that time, Krishnadas was just new in the community, and he had a girlfriend. And at noon, this girlfriend showed up at work, and Anandi said to Krishnadas, "Your distraction's here." I just had to tell that story. But it's, you know, anything that pulls us out of ourselves is a distraction, and you know, and we get in trouble. Not that Krishnadas was getting any trouble, but just whenever the heart goes out, it's going out into duality, and it's leaving the one spirit of God. Master's father was a very great yogi, and he was a disciple, a very deep disciple of Lahiri Mahasaya. And when he was 82 years old, he had something that went wrong with a hernia, and the surgeon said, "We have to operate right away." But he said that, "You're too old to give you chloroform. They didn't have anesthesia at that time. And he said, "You might die if we give you that." So Master's younger brother, who was a very famous bodybuilder, Bishnu, he got a lot of his young students, and Bishnu was really known for his feats of amazing strength. He had a two-ton roller roll over his chest. Once he had loaded up a bullock's cart and had it go over his chest, and he took a bar of steel and bent it into a coil. So he was he used his attunement with yoga, but also physical strength. So Bishnu said, "Well, what if I get my students and we can hold father down while the surgeon operates on him?" And Master's father kind of looked at all these young boys just kind of standing around, and he said, "What are they doing here? I'm just going to do my pranayama, and I'm going to go inside, and everything will be fine." And it was fine. And it's such a telling story, because yoga tells us to not be an effect, but be a cause. And, you know, why should we let ourselves be at the mercy of outward events? We don't have to. This is why masters come and brought Kriya Yoga to us, so that we can be masters of ourselves. And we have to go through a physical birth, and first an astral birth and a physical birth, just to have a sense of individuality. God wanted to share his joy with us, and we had to have a point of reference to experience that joy. Otherwise, we'd just be part of God and not have an existence. So we've had to have this journey of being born as a soul. But the masters, the gurus, they want us to come quickly back to them. And so they've brought us everything possible for us to be able to realize that every night when we go to sleep, we transcend body consciousness, don't we? And at the end of earthly incarnations are shorter usually than astral incarnations. And so we really fight it out on the earth plane, and then we get all this time in the astral world just to remind us that we're much greater than though we think we are. And then we come back. And so everything is really stacked in our favor. And then you add the science of Kriya Yoga on top of it as something that we can use to dynamically bring our energy into the spine. Last autumn, I had a lot of different health adventures that seemed to go on and on for about 4 months. And first it was my lungs and hard breathing. And I was remember doing Kriya, and I couldn't do it anymore through the mouth. And so I was doing it through the nose. And then I got to where I only could do it mentally. But I found one day that I got out of breath doing Kriyas mentally. It was such a challenge, and I kind of opened my eyes and I look at Master and I said, I laughed and I said, "This is absurd." But Master, he gives us the ability to do a lot of Kriyas, and then sometimes he doesn't. And I had a correspondence with Swami Kriyananda, and my lungs are much better, and I said I'm able to do Kriya now, not perfect, but I don't think I ever did Kriya perfect. And Swami said, I'm hoping to be able to get back to meditation too, because of his heart. But of course, Swami lives in bliss all the time, and it's because he said to Naidruva that I have a lot of Kriyas in my bank account. And, what does Kriya do as a technique? It tries to magnetize the outer nerve channels of the astral spine that is connected with our breathing on the astral breath, but then causes the physical breath. We're trying to get deeper into the spine. And so Kriya is trying to bring us there. But at a certain point, our consciousness lives there in the spine and doesn't go out of the spine. Master demonstrated that when he had the wishing well that I don't remember how heavy it was, but it was a big concrete wishing well, and it fell on his foot. And he said, "Let me show you what it's like to be in body consciousness." And there was all this pain that just came over his face. And he said, "Now I'm going to put my attention at the spiritual eye." And immediately the pain was gone. And then he did it back and forth just so that the disciples got the point. And every time that we do Kriya, we're bringing our consciousness further and deeper into the spine so that we can be free of outer limitations. And, Yogananda said that this world is a nest of troubles. Well, part of my adventures last autumn is that I had a very, very serious infection, and it was had a 103 degree fever, and I was delirious. And at one point, I thought I had to hop out of bed and deliver a message to Napoleon that he desperately needed to receive. That wasn't, I don't think, a super conscious dream, but but the next one was. I saw myself. I was on a stairwell, and this big hand that was just as big as my body pushed me down the stairwell, and I tumbled down, and I laid at a heap at the bottom of the stairwell. And I heard a voice next to the big hand say, "Turn him over." And somehow I was standing up there, but also down below. And there was a pool of blood all around my face and then or my head, and it turned me over. And I saw my face in the dream, sort of pasty white, and then a cross of blood across the face. And it sort of sounds gruesome, but I was standing with God, is symbolized by the hand, and the guru that I sensed was the guru on the stairwell. I was standing with them, and I was looking at my body, and I realized that I had a choice. I could be in my body and experience all the limitations and the pain that happens when we live in the body, or I could stand with God and guru. on the stairwell and just have a sense of distance from that and to live more in their consciousness. And that's the choice that we have in every moment of our lives. But we can't just say, I want to go there. We have to have that as a dynamic point of reference that we are experiencing. And it's only through doing a dynamic practice like Kriya Yoga that gives us a real sense of that and a growing confidence that that is our reality. And then when things happen outside of us that aren't always pleasant, or even if they are pleasant, we don't want to get caught by them in their limited reality. We know that the world inside is a truer world, a world that's filled with so much more bliss that is humanly possible. As Yogananda said, that in the spine we experience God is boundless, ever new joy. And we've all felt that joy as we've done our Kriya. Or maybe we aren't a Kriyapan, but we've meditated deeply and we have felt that joy. And that's an indication of where we're trying to go and where we're trying to go deeper and deeper in our experience of life. Master said that we should live with complete control of feeling. And he said that if you got rid of likes and dislikes, would you be an automaton? How do you say that word? Automaton. And Master said, no, you would be like God. And you would have undiluted bliss in your life. Because it's our heart that just reaches out, as I was saying before, and brings us into duality. And leaves our home in God. And so to be able to do that, though, we have to learn to be impersonal and to draw back from everything. And I once had a dream that sort of taught me that. It was when I first came to Ananda, and Anandi joked about me one time. He said, Bharat, he's really impersonal except for when it concerns him. We were newly married. You know, but we all have to learn, you know, how can I be more and more impersonal? And, well, in my dream, I was there, and somebody in the community came up and went boom, boom, and shot me 6 times in the chest. You know, I just felt that this wasn't really right behavior at Ananda Village. And I thought that I should tell, you know, other people in the community that we have a member doing this. So I was at a meeting in the dream, and there was about 12 people there, and they were discussing community events. And you know, when you have something you really want to say, you're looking for an opening to say it. But I never got a chance to say it. Just this meeting kept going on, and I just couldn't say what I wanted to say. And then finally, I had this understanding that it's just this voice that said, Bharat, it doesn't really matter. Just forget about it. And you know, it sounds dramatic, because I'm sure if it was being played out in the physical world, we would want to do something about it. But I was reading some early lessons on Patanjali by Yogananda, and he told a story about a Hindu saint that was deeply, deeply inspiring. You may know this story, but I love the way Master ended this story. There was a Hindu saint walking along, and the policeman got this saint confused with, I think, a thief or some criminal. And he happened to have an axe, this policeman, and the saint was just walking along and hadn't stopped when he was called to do so by the policeman. And so he swung his axe and ripped open the arm of the saint in a pretty severe way. And the saint calmly turned around. And when he did, the policeman was horrified at what he had done. And the saint just said, "Oh, no, it's okay. What you did was perfectly understandable. Don't fret yourself. Run along now. I'll be okay." And just with that beautiful consciousness, you really had a sense that that saint was okay, that he probably had dominion over the physical world, can just immediately heal his arm. But he was just living in God, and he was just free. And that's really where we're all heading towards. And we have a sense of it already in our lives. I'm sure we've seen examples of it. And Master has stepped into our lives over and over again and given us a sense of protection. And I really feel the reason why that's so is that we have been really reaching for that consciousness. And he honors that reaching. And then he's always protected us, because this is where we've put our aspiration. This is where we've put our heart. In Swami's Material Success Course, at one point he says that, you know, life is really simple. We can ask ourselves, is something true or is it not true? And if we want to live by truth, we can see that that's really the mantra. It's like, okay, if it's true, then I'll live this way. Well, what law does a Kriya Yogi have? Well, there are different things you can think of, but really the main sort of yardstick for us is this attitude, is that taking my energy within, or is it taking it without? And it's just as simple as that. Jyotish was giving a class on Kriya, and he said that everything that takes your energy out is your enemy. Everything that brings your energy in is your friend. And Paramahansa Yogananda said that when we're only aware of spinal currents, then we're perfectly attuned to God. That's not exact quotation, but that's we experience God when we go deeply, deeply into the spine. And of course, Kriya is done in being aware of the inner currents in the spine. And Swami Kriyananda has said that if we want to feel those currents more dynamically, always live in the spine. A few years ago, Ganesha gave us for Christmas an issue of Life magazine in 1943. And it was very telling what the theme of that magazine was, because, of course, this was during World War II. And every advertisement was spoken and went back to the war effort. You know, and a country can accomplish so much more during a time of war because the energy is focused and everybody is behind it. And there's a story of one boat factory. They built all the ships that they used on D-Day and the Pacific Islands. And if you went into the bathroom at the factory, there was a big picture of Adolf Hitler, and it said, "Every minute you waste in here is a minute in Adolf's favor." And in the Life magazine, they said, "Isn't it wonderful to know that our boys chasing Adolf Superman are armed with victorious vitamin C, and that every woman working for freedom is wearing undergarments for victory." I didn't quite get that advertisement right, but anyway, you get the point. That everything had to do with that effort. Of course, that's happened something on the external plane. But for a Kriya Yogi, to have that sense of intensity in terms of every moment of life, Is this my friend or is this my enemy? Is this taking me inside and where I'm wanting to go? Or is this counter to my highest aspirations? And when we can have that sense, our Kriya Yoga practice will just take off more and more. I was thinking about the Nyaswami order and a vow that's really inspires the whole order, no matter what vow you're taking, is I don't exist. And in Kriya Yoga, we're trying to get into the spine, aren't we? At the very, very center of ourselves. Well, the astral world, there, we still have an ego. The physical world, we have an ego. And when we are trying to live in the consciousness of I don't exist, not expressing our ego, our consciousness is centered in the very deepest part of ourselves. And so that attitude of renunciation, of living for God, really helps and goes with our Kriya practice, because it's putting our consciousness where we're trying to go with the Kriya Yoga technique. And the more and more that we go inside ourselves, the freer and freer we'll become. And the more full of bliss we'll become, and the closer and closer to God we'll be. Bless you all.